Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Holy Spirit, it's such an honor to wait on you. And I just love you so much. Jesus, thank you for everything. Everything. And you're here. You're here with us in this room. Those that are watching, you're with them. I trust your promise. It says you never leave us nor forsake us. And I just declare an incredible awareness of how near you are. Lead us, Holy Spirit, as we continue this conversation of prayer. Help me to say what you want me to say, and help the people to hear what you want them to hear. And at the end of the day, you get the glory. I just feel as we were waiting there before I jump in, I don't know who needs this today, but he wants me to tell you there's hope. There's hope. Pastor Nicole has declared this before, but get your hopes up. And if you don't hear anything else today, hear this from the Holy Spirit. He wants me to tell you there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Get your hopes up. God is faithful to all generations. So I pray that you would feel that today as I declare that. There is hope. Whatever you're going through, there is hope. There's hope for America. There's hope for your business. There's hope for your marriage. There's hope for your family, your finances, your health. There's hope for your health. Trust you. Trust you. Trust you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Derek. I could stay there all day. Great job, worship team. We're so blessed here. Well, today we're going to continue this conversation of prayer. And here we are. We are in what Pastor David has called 80 days of prayer, leading up to the election on November 3rd. And you know what's unique about 80 days of prayer? I mean, we need to pray right now. But I don't think it's just something that we're going to start and then stop. We're going to pray a lot and then stop praying a lot. But I believe we've been given the opportunity through these 80 days to step up into our rightful place. Because as sons and daughters, we have access, and with access, we have a seat, and that seat is Ephesians 2:6 talks about because of the gospel, we can be seated in heavenly places with him. So really, these 80 days is a challenge to us, a challenge to you, a challenge to me, not just to pray for 80 days and then November 3rd, like, oh, we got through it. No, but to step up, and that in what we're doing, it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes who you are as a son and as a daughter. It's not just a dwell thing. It's not just a church thing, but it's actually a family thing. Stepping into your place as a son and a daughter and having a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer, to me personally, is basically the representation of a healthy relationship with God. And any healthy relationship, it lives, breathes, and dies on one word, communication. Say that word with me, communication. Our ability to share and our ability to listen, to communicate with the Father. And so that is a good representation of our relationship with him. So when we say the word prayer, it's not that God is a supernatural Santa Claus that we sit on his lap when we have a need and say, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and then we jump off and we cross our fingers and hope we wake up the next morning and it's under the tree. But it's us having dialogue and opening our hearts to hear what he has to say and him always being available. It's 11:11, by the way, and you'll find out the uniqueness of that here in a second. That just caught my eye. It's crazy. So here we are in this relationship with God, but it all lives and breathes and dies on that word communication. I want to show you this picture of three kinds of grass. If we could put that up there today. There it is. I saw this on a poster, and I took a picture of it. I thought it was speaking to me, and I think it's going to speak to you. Which patch of grass needs water? Here, you know, Exhibit A, you got green grass. That may be your backyard. It's not mine. Then you got Exhibit B. It's kind of green and brown. And then you got Exhibit C, or number three there, is just straight up brown grass. Some of y'all are already thinking, oh, I'm a C. That's my yard right there, or a B, or A, all right? So which patch of grass needs water? Now, some would say the brown one. Or maybe you would say the green-brown one and the brown one, because the one that's green, it's got all it needs. But what does it say? Which patch of grass needs water? All of them. The green grass needs water to maintain health and stay green. And the kind of green grass needs water to get healthier and improve green. And then brown grass needs water, I love this, to heal and restore its green. Now let's switch the word water with the word prayer. If your life was a representation of this grass, where would you be? Green, little bit of brown green, or just straight up brown? Or we go through seasons, right? Just like the grass, where it may be brown and it needs a little extra prayer, but which one needs that relationship with God? The answer is all of them. All of them, all of us. The one that maybe has the green grass to maintain health and stay green, or to stay in relationship with him. Is this good? Or a kind of green grass. Maybe you're on the edge today. You need a relationship with God to get healthier and improve. Come on, improve yourself. And I love this right here. Some of you just need a relationship with him to heal, to be healed and be restored. Isn't that so good? So this is where we come into relationship with him, and he works on those areas of our heart. But we have to take time to stop and pray. You know, many of us will go in on a Sunday morning at Dwell, or we'll tune in on Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon or Wednesdays at 7. But are we in relationship with him continually? To me, prayer is something that never ends. I literally have a conversation with God all day. And at any moment, he can say my name and I respond. And then I have those moments I can go to the prayer closet, or I can come to service, and it's a set time, a set place. But even beyond that, he's continually speaking to me and I'm speaking to him. But do you stop? Do you take time to pray? Now, we will over these next 80 days, but beyond that, will you take time to pray? You have to stop to be filled up. Imagine me driving my minivan, because that's what we drive, and I love my minivan. When I'm asked if you could have any dream car, it would be a 2020 or 2021 Honda Odyssey with the Blu-ray disc player and Wi-Fi. Some want Maseratis. I just want a minivan. So if the Lord's laying that on your heart, I live in Anna, Texas at, no, just kidding. But if I'm driving that minivan to go get gas, and imagine those gas stations back in the day where the attendants would be out there and you pull up, they'd open up your gas tank, you know, fill it up with gas, clean your windows, tighten the cap back on and send you on your way. Y'all remember those? I don't. I'm not that old. But back in the day, they would have people that would fill your car up with gas. Imagine me pulling up to one of those gas stations, but not stopping. And I'm driving around the gas, and saying, hey, fill it up, buddy. And he's just like, would you please stop? And he's literally trying, I'm getting a little dizzy, to open the gas tank and pull. I mean, he somehow is able to get the gas cap off, but he's just shooting gas everywhere and hoping it gets in your tank. And you try to move on, and then you wonder why you're continually on empty. Because you never stop to allow time with God to fill you up. And let me tell you this, time with God is never wasted. Time with God is never wasted. Or how about this? There's so much he wants to tell you. Me and Pastor David, we have a great relationship. He's one of my best buds. He's my pastor. He's a mentor. He's a spiritual father. But he's also one of my best buds. And he loves to hang out. He loves to be with people. And if I didn't know where he lived, but yet we had a relationship, and let's say we get on the phone one morning, and I'm like, hey, Pastor David, hey, John, you know, we start cutting up, and he's like, come over. And I immediately hang up, but I don't take time to get directions and hear his address, but I hang up, and I attempt to get in my car, and I think he lives in McKinney, so I'm going to drive. What would take 24 minutes, 22 miles, now takes weeks and months because I didn't take time to hear the directions or get his address. Think about where we would be as sons and daughters if we took time to listen, to hear the directions, to hear the address, to hear what he says about us and what he wants to do in us and through us. Imagine how quick we could get places and where we could, oh, the places we would go if we would take time to just be with him. Is this good, y'all? If you're watching online, it's good. Go ahead and heart it up. Just boop, 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 boop. One of my favorite apostles of the faith is Smith Wigglesworth. If you have time, Google Smith Wigglesworth. I mean, this dude raised people from the dead. God, through him, thousands were saved. The revival, the awakening that this man led, the faith that he had, some of the most bizarre but authentic, amazing stories I've ever heard has come from Smith Wigglesworth. And he was asked about prayer. And they asked him, Smith Wigglesworth, you're a man of faith and miracles. You've raised people from the dead. You've cast out more demons than we have had hot dinners. It tells you how long ago this question was asked. Tell us, how long do you pray every day? Well, the apostle replied, I don't ever pray any longer than 20 minutes. What? You don't spend hours in prayer? Smith Wigglesworth just pauses for effect. And then he follows up, yes, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. Your prayer life is not measured in minutes, but it's measured in the lifestyle. He said, I don't ever pray longer than 20 minutes, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. Isn't that so good? Martin Luther said this, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Prayer is like the breath in our lungs. Or the great theologian M.C. Hammer, you've got to pray. You've got to pray just to make it today. That's why we pray. Y'all hearing me? So a couple of my favorite scriptures, I want you to go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. That's why we pray. Pray! Get my hammer pants on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. This is one of my favorite scriptures in college. When I just really began to fall in love with the Word of God, this was probably one of my favorite. This was like an everyday one for me. Verse 16, we shared at the beginning of service. Rejoice always. In the valley, on the mountain, no job, tons of jobs, alone, in the group, rejoice always. And verse 17, pray continually. That's pretty clear. And then 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Many of us are like, should I be a doctor? Should I start a church? Should I go to college? Should I marry her? Should I marry? You're looking to make big decisions, but it's all encompassed in this. What's God's will for me? It's simple. Rejoice always and what? Pray continually. This is a part of our lifestyle. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So simply there in verse 17, pray continually. Just like Smith Wigglesworth said, it is not about the minutes, it's about the lifestyle. Jeremiah 29:11. I love this scripture, but I also love the extension to verse 14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Man, I always feel power. Whenever I'm reading the word and I see declares the Lord, I'm like, that's done. Whatever that was, it is done in Jesus' name. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is it. This is it. Verse 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Are you thankful for that promise? That when we come to him, he listens? You ever talk to somebody and you know they're not listening? Don't say amen, Jocelyn. Are you listening to me? Yeah. What's funny is, then what did I say? And I'll tell her word for word. She's like, well, then just look at me when I'm talking to you. Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. I got to do better at that. But he always listens. And then verse 13, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I love this. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. He loves to play hide and seek because he loves to be found. He's not going to hide from you forever. It's like one, two, three. He loves to be found, but he never hides in the same place twice. You have to seek him, and you find him when you seek him with all of your heart. And we do that through prayer. Matthew 7 through 11. I just feel such a sweet presence today. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then it goes on to say, verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, would say, surprise, you get a rock? Or if he asks for a fish, you know what? You need this venomous snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So let me read that again because I got a little tongue-tied. If you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts, helps when I do my hands, to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Everything from the Father is good, but we have to have a pursuit. In order to receive, you have to ask. In order to find, you have to seek. In order for the door to be opened, you've got to knock. Prayer is the ask. Prayer is the seek. Prayer is the knock. Are you guys with me? So let's look at Matthew 6, 5 through 14. So here in this chapter in Matthew 6, Jesus is breaking down three areas: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. And one word that shows us that prayer should be a lifestyle is when. Somebody say when. Doesn't say if or if you feel like it. He just says, and when you give to the needy, and when you pray, and when you fast. Like if I looked at my kids and say, oh, when you take out the garbage, not that at prayer is like taking out the garbage, but it's a task sometimes, and when you pray, it's an expectation. So when Jesus is breaking down, yes, giving to the needy and fasting, but as he starts to talk about prayer, he doesn't go into first what you should do. He says, don't do this, do this, don't do this, and this is how you do it. This is how we do it. So the first thing he says is, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. How many of you ever heard somebody that's praying to be heard? Not by God, but by man, right? And I've done that sometimes. It's like I pray to God one way, and then I'll get in a prayer circle, and John, will you pray? And it's like, oh, gracious Heavenly Father. I mean, it just, I turn on the theatrics. I don't know what that is. And it's feeling, I mean, am I the only one? You feel like you kind of have to prove your relationship with God. And it's like, do you ever listen to yourself pray in your prayer closet and then pray in front of people? It's kind of unique. You know, a little side note. You know, when we'll go on to talk about it. When he says, pray like this, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now listen, I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but he didn't say, our Father who art in heaven, Father God, we just ask, Father God, that your kingdom come, Father God, and your will be done, Father God, on earth, Father God, as it is in heaven, Father God. Now I'm not saying your prayers aren't authentic, but have you listened to yourself pray? When I talked to my dad this morning and he picks up the phone, I don't say, hey, Dad, what are you doing, Dad? You want to pray with me, Dad? I'm speaking today, Dad. Yeah, Dad. I talk to my dad, and sometimes when I just say his name, I just call without even looking at the caller ID. We know each other's voice. We know each other's tone. We know each other's inflections because we have relationships. And in that same way, you would talk to someone you love and endear. Talk to the Father. Our Father, I love you. My day sucked, but I'm not going to give up. You know, or God, I'm here, and I'm doing good, and it's because of you. You know, just talk to him. Just share your heart. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I challenge you, listen to yourself pray, because here's what he's saying. He tells us what not to do, to not be like the hypocrites. But he says, when you pray to your Father, those two words, your Father, your daddy. You know, a lot of times we want to make fun of those people that say daddy God, but I think they got it right. He is our Father. He is my dad. He is my heavenly Father. I love you, Dad. I love you, Father. I love you, God, whatever you want to call him. He's your dad. He's your Abba. And for some of us, he's daddy God, and it's all right. But he says, our Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And then he goes on to say, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Now listen, if you're authentic, which by the way, the horse named Authentic won the Kentucky Derby yesterday. That was kind of neat. The horse's name was Authentic. So I think God's saying something through that. Authenticity is coming alive in this season. But if you being authentic use many words, great. But don't turn on your British accent just because people are watching. Don't add the King James. Now listen, some of that may be learned, and that's okay. But I just challenge you to listen to yourself pray and pray from your heart. Jesus in here, he says, don't be like the hypocrites who want to be heard, but go into your prayer closet, and when what's done in secret, he'll reward you in private or public. And then he says, and then don't be like the pagans that babble over and over. But listen, if your heart is saying one word over and over, as long as it's authentic, the two words I want to look at here in the scripture are authenticity and availability. Authenticity and availability. Let me finish this passage there in verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then that's the end of the prayer. And then he closes it out with this. If you don't forgive people, I can't forgive you. Bye. He gives you this whole like, don't do this, do this, don't do this. This is how you pray. Oh, and by the way, if you don't forgive people, I don't forgive you. All right. Who's got the fish and chips? Are we rolling here? What's going on? And I want to challenge you a little side trail here. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you got to work on that. Or God, you create a ceiling. Your prayers only go so high. If you don't forgive, and if you got to forgive every day, forgive every day. Just keep forgiving. Keep forgiving. Let it go. Let it go. And that gives your prayers more access. Amen. So in this passage here, I think he's really pushing authenticity. Be you. Be real. Well, John, you say words over and over. I promise you it's from my heart. John, you scream sometimes. Listen, I'm not screaming because God's deaf. I'm screaming because I'm desperate. And I'm excited. I go to a football game and scream, so why can't I scream in prayer? You know, I'm, go, John Miles, you know, at his football games. Or if I went to a Cowboys game, which thank God they're starting up the season here in a few weeks. Longhorns are playing next week. Hook 'em horns. I lost about 10 of you. Come back. I would shout because of excitement. So when we're excited, when we're passionate, as long as it's authentic. And when it's just you and the Father, there's more space for authenticity. And that overflows into who we are as sons and daughters. But not only authenticity, but availability. Are you available? Are you making a space and a time every day? For me, it's in the shower. Sometimes it's in the car, radio off, talking to the Lord. I'll go out on the back porch. I like to sit on the back porch as long as they're not doing construction and blaring music. And I'll just talk to God and I'll listen to God. And then throughout the day, just calling on him and opening my ear to hear him when he calls my name. But when he calls your name, do you know what his voice sounds like? Your prayer life consists of just you talking. And if you take no time to listen to him speak. Sometimes he speaks through an audible voice. I'm a gut guy. I can feel his words in my gut. Scriptures, he speaks through his scriptures. He's calling your name, but do you know his voice? Like I talked about earlier, talking to my Father. Since I have relationship with my Father, we have 41 years of me talking and him listening and him talking and me listening, so that any moment he could walk in this room and say, John boy, and I would know my dad was here. I could be in a crowd of people and he'd say, John, son, I could hear his voice through all the other voices because we have relationship. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. Does he know you? Does he know you? I know he knows you because he created you. He knit you together. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. But do you know him? Like, do you really know him? And they follow me. When we listen to him, we know him. The more we listen, the more we know. And in the words of G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle. Right? It's important that we take time to listen. In prayer, things don't change when I talk to God, but things change when God talks to me. We have to have the ability to hear. I love Bob Sorge. If you can, Google Bob Sorge. And the most important word in the Bible. He has this whole teaching on the secret place. And he says one of the most important words in the Bible to him is the word hear. It's all contingent on our availability to hear him. How do we know the love of God if we can't hear him? How do we know the peace of God? How can we have faith if we don't hear him? The ability to hear Holy Spirit. Not only H-E-A-R here, but also here, present, available, willing. I know we're not dogs, but put your paw in the air and wave it like you just don't care. Paw, present, available, willing. I'm here. Here I am. That's the answer of the prophets. When the Spirit was calling to Samuel in the night, he kept saying his name. He would say, "Here I am." When God would call his people, his prophets, his leaders, their response would be, "Here I am." As he calls our name, he's not only wanting to speak to us, but he's wanting to use us. And what is the posture of your heart? Here, I'll pray for 80 days. I'll take up that mantle. I'll get up early. I'll go to bed late. I'll do whatever it takes because you've called my name. Here, present. I'm here. Not only here I am, but in the Hebrew, that word is hinani. Say that with me. Hinani. Say it again. Hinani. I dare you to wake up every morning and say hinani. What am I saying? You're saying here I am. But the definition is yes to whatever you ask. Before I even know what you're asking, hinani. Before I even know what it's going to cost me, move to Texas, sell my house, move my family here, and start a church with the Binions, hinani. I say yes, Holy Spirit. I say yes, present, available, and willing. Here I am. And not only here I am, but here I am. Because who is he? He's the one who makes the impossible possible. Here I am. I love when God calls Moses in Exodus 3, 13 through 14. And he says, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites. You want me to go set your people free and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they're going to ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" And God says to Moses, "I am who I am. And this is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you." He is the I am. He's it. That's it. The I am. Everything. All things. Alpha. Omega. Beginning. The end. He's a lion and a lamb. He's the beginning and the end. He's all of that. He is the I am. And some of you have been giving orders. You said, "Here I am." You want me to do what? Who sends you? Who's sending us? He trusts us with this nation. He trusts us with this region. He trusts you with your family. I know it's impossible. Listen, it's not about knowing how to do what he's asked you to do, but know who sends you to do what you do. He doesn't qualify the call. He doesn't. What is that thing? Y'all know what I'm talking about, all you churches. He doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the call, right? Y'all church people, God is good all the time, and y'all know all the phrases. So we say, "He, nani." We say yes. Prayer is coming into that relationship and sharing our heart, authenticity and availability. I want to say this about authenticity. I heard this great analogy, and I think it's so important here. It's Hallmark prayers. Hallmark prayers. You're like, "What? Hallmark prayers?" So if, I don't know what holiday is coming up. I don't think they make Labor Day cards. So let's say Mother's Day is coming up, and I want a Mother's Day card for my mom, my mama. I'm going to go to CVS. I'm going to go down the aisle, find the Mother's Day cards, and find a card that already has words in it. And then I'm going to sign my name to that, maybe underline a few things, and give it to my mom. And she's going to love it. It's the same thing Jesus does with us. Pray like this. He doesn't say pray exactly this, but pray like this. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It goes on. But what happens if I take that set prayer and I pull out a pen to the card and I begin to write in the blank space? I take that foundation, that guide of, you know, roses are red, violets are blue, where would I be? Mom, I love you. But I also want to say, thank you. Thank you for changing my diapers. Thank you for taking care of me and teaching me structure and teaching me love and teaching me peace and teaching me how to love others. And I remember that one time, Mom, when I was so afraid and you came and you held me so tight and I got to flip the card over. I've run out of space. I just want to tell you so much about... There's a reason they put so much blank space on the card. Because how much more now does that card mean when you take out that pen, authenticity. You may misspell some words or you said the wrong thing and you got to cross it out. That's fine. You don't have to buy a whole new card. When my kids give me cards, I don't care if I can't read it because their handwriting may be bad. I'm still in tears. I don't care if it's in crayon, if it's in black ink, red ink, blue ink. It's the authenticity. Man, I feel like I'm all over the place. Are you guys getting anything out of this? Man, I believe that Corona and COVID, or whatever you want to call it, has shaken everything up and exposed every area of our heart. And he's using it. I believe this with all in my heart. He is using it to align the hearts of his sons and daughters back to true relationship with him. It may take a little persecution. It may take a little discomfort. It may take a little uncovering. But if that's what it takes, imagine where we would be, Dwell Church. Imagine where we would be, son and daughter, my brothers and sisters, if we step back into true relationship. Or maybe you've never stepped in, or you step into true relationship with the Father. Jesus, in the temple, he said in Matthew 21:13, but he was just quoting Isaiah 56:7. He said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer. Not just the house of dwell, not just the bride of Christ, but the houses of our hearts, the temple of our hearts. We will be people of prayer. And God is speaking to us in this season. He is calling us up higher. He is challenging us to deeper places, wider places, higher places. We can go anywhere. I could fly so high, you know, just like way up in the sky. Take a look. It's in the book. He's calling us all over. He said, why don't you come with me, little John, on a magic carpet ride? You know, we're going all over the place with him. God speaks to us in many ways. As I said, audible voice, scriptures, angels, humans, creation. You know, you got to dig in. I don't have time to explain all these stories, but he used a star to speak to the wise men, a rooster to speak to Peter, a big old fish to speak to Jonah, a burning bush to speak to Moses, a donkey to speak to Balaam. When he wants to get your attention, he will use whatever it takes to speak to you. Here recently for me, he's been speaking to me through numbers. As I said earlier, I randomly looked at the clock and it was 11:11. For the past month, 9 times out of 10, when I'm looking at the clock, or I'm looking at an appliance to check the time, or my watch, or whatever, all of the numbers are the same. 111, 222, 333, 444, 555, 1010, 1111, 1212. Joshua would ask me what time it is, and I'd open my phone, it'd be 555. I would wake up in the middle of the night, look at my alarm clock. I don't have an alarm clock, I have a Nest, so I don't know. It'd be 222. And it got so weird, it started to haunt me a little bit. I'm like, God, what are you saying? Like, what does this mean? I'm Googling spiritual significance, 111, 222, 333. I'm like, are you speaking to me like 20 things? What are you saying? And I just had this strong curiosity, and it just kept happening over and over. Oh, and I'm like, God, what are you saying? And I'm praying. And it wasn't until one day I was sitting down with Pastor Tanner. He was over at my house, and we were drinking coffee, encouraging one another. And I shared with him what was going on. And Tanner was just like, sounds like alignment. And it was like, I knew instantly in my gut, that's it. The answer. Like, you know, you ever have, like, you're trying to think of somebody's name and you can't think of it, and then finally you do, and that feeling that comes over you, that's what I felt. I was like, alignment, that's it. What does that mean? And so I knew that was the word, and I knew it was for me in my gut, but I knew it was for the church. I knew it was what God was saying to me, to my family, but also to the church as a whole. Alignment. And I step away from that moment, I still keep seeing the same numbers. And every time I see the number, now I have something to pray into. Alignment. Lord, what are you saying, Holy Spirit? When I see these numbers, what are you saying? What do I need to align in my prayer life, my life? And I'll be honest with you. Can I be vulnerable? Let me be authentic, like the horse that won the Kentucky Derby yesterday. Let me be authentic. As a leader, there's days I don't pray. And I'm sorry. I've gotten busy. I'm doing church work. I'm doing good things. And I hear Holy Spirit say, come away with me. And I've ignored him. And I want to say I'm sorry. I say I'm sorry to him. It's something we all struggle with. Doesn't make it right. But when you clearly hear God's voice wooing you and you ignore it, that's disobedience. So I'm working on me, you work on you, let's do it together, all right? That's a little authentic moment. Okay, back here. So alignment, all these numbers are the same. I'm seeing all these numbers. God, what are you saying? And then a week later, now let me preface this. Last year, I started having excruciating pain up my neck. Felt like a pinched nerve. It would shoot down my chest, down my arm. My hands started tingling. My hands would freeze. I had drop wrist for 3 days. I had to wear a brace. I'm like, what is going on with me? So my first thought is, you know, let me go to a chiropractor. Went to chiropractor, got adjusted, aligned a few times. Had to get an MRI because I'm like, what is going on? Had to have a nerve test. They were shooting electricity through my body. And when you don't have, like, great insurance, that cost me a lot of money. And God's faithful. We wanted answers. And so they just said, you got a pinched nerve. And I'm like, it's causing all that? So a few months later, the pain went away. And we were praying for it every Sunday, praying through it every Wednesday. And there were times the pain would leave, but then it would come back. I got new pillows. I tried different sleeping positions. And it would just come and go. But the wrists, the grip, my strength, Charlie horses, that stayed. And I'm like, what's going on? But then I was thankful that the pain wasn't there. And here recently, the pain came back. And I had a good chiropractor, but we moved from Frisco to Anna, and I didn't want to drive that far. And so now I have alignment in my heart. This pain comes back in my back, and I get on Facebook. They're always listening on Facebook. They're always listening on Instagram. You'll be sitting there talking about something at lunch, and it pops up on your phone. You're like, what kind of voodoo is this? But I see this advertisement. Here we've moved to Anna, which is right next to Van Alstyne. I see this advertisement for this chiropractor office in Van Alstyne called Braddock Chiropractic Care. Check them out. I'm giving them a huge endorsement. And they're like, first appointment, $20-some. I think it was like $21 or $28. We'll do your x-rays. You get a hydro massage. We're going to adjust you, go over your x-rays. I'm like, man, that's a good deal. Let me just try it out. So I set up an appointment. And as soon as I walk in, I knew I was in the right place. They are cranking worship music. And I hear Good Good Father come over the system. They're cranking Maverick City, Bethel. I mean, they're like, it's not like the soccer mom worship on radio, but I'm talking about like the deep stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And no offense to Point of Grace and For Him, all right? I had the CDs 20 years ago, but so I'm walking in. I already feel like I'm walking into a well. And I'm like, man. And they were so kind, so nice. And there's an area you do exercises. You know, you're moving your hips. And on the wall, they just had the gospel plastered on the wall. And I'm like, man, what is this place? It's like a chiropractic church. This is great. So they take me in. They're so kind. They take my x-rays. They just great, very informative. And so you go to the first appointment, get your x-rays done, get the hydro massage. Then you come back the next day, and they go through your x-rays. So I go back the next day, and before they go over your x-rays, you sit in this room and you watch this video. They have a heart to educate you on your health. And so as I'm watching this video starts coming alive to me, and I know that I'm here for a reason. I'm not just here to get my back fixed, but Holy Spirit is just about to download a bunch of stuff into my heart for me and for the body of Christ. So I'm walking in, and I'm sitting there, and the video comes on, And again, the worship music's playing. You know, it's just so good. And as I'm sitting there, he just begins to talk about the importance of wellness, the importance of health. And he says the World Healthcare Organization studied the top 40 most industrialized countries. And the health of America compared to those other countries, one being the highest, 40 would be the lowest. Where would you guess America would be? 37. And what's crazy, we only make up 5% of the world's population, but we consume 80% of the world's pharmaceuticals. We're the most prosperous. We're the most powerful. We got it going on, but yet we're the most unhealthy. And it made me think about the American church. If we could look at all the nations in the earth, not that it's about rank, but if you look at the American church compared to the European church or the Asian church or the China church or the, I don't know all the countries. I'm not into geography. I'm going to mess up some names. But if we look at the American church, where are we? We're blessed, but where's revival? We're prosperous, but where's awakening? Where's the miracle signs and wonders? Makes you think. And then he goes on to talk about the nervous system, how important your nerves are. The nervous system is in charge of every other system. Here in this video, he says the nervous system is in charge of your circulatory, your immune, your digestive, your endocrine, and your muscular system. It all flows back to your nervous system. And it starts in your brain, and it runs down your spinal cord, which is housed. Again, this is a lot of science. You didn't know you were coming. You aren't coming to geography class, but you are coming to science class. It starts in your brain, runs down your spinal cord, which is housed in the spinal canal. And in between each backbone and vertebrae is a hole. And out of the hole is where the existing nerves go, like branches, kind of like a tree. And this is how your body talks to your brain, and your brain talks to your body. Talks not just to your muscles and your limbs, but to your organs. Like Christopher Reeves, how many remember the original, the OG Superman? I mean, not the black and white, but the first color TV Superman. Christopher Reeves, Superman, fell off a horse, and what? He broke the first bone in his neck, his C1, okay? When he did that, he immediately severed the communication from his brain to his body. So therefore, machines had to help him breathe, had to help his heartbeat, had to help his kidneys function, had to help him eat. So here's a question for you. This is what they asked me in the video. When he fell off the horse, was any of his organs damaged? No. But because the communication was cut off, your organs are like my organs. They're stupid. And they need to be told what to do. And it's the nerves, the brain, that tells those organs how to function. And I thought, if God is the brain and we are the body, why aren't we moving like we should? Is there something off in the spine of the church that heaven's not pouring out? Well, I'm feeling a little numbness, and my hand's getting locked, or the children's ministry, or the youth ministry, or my marriage, or this part of the church. Y'all see where I'm going? It's wild to think about. So then they're like, okay, now let's look at your x-rays. So I want to put up my x-ray. I don't think this will gross you out, but that's me, inside and out, baby. That's me. So in this video, you can see my neck is not good, and here's why. That green line is what they call an arc. Somebody say an arc. And your neck should be at a natural 43-degree arc. Somebody say 43-degree arc. Like a banana. Think of it like a banana. Okay? And look at my neck. And you can see down there toward the bottom where it's kind of, the spaces aren't as open. And that's where the nerve is being pinched. See, what happens as your nerves go down your back and your spine, the doctors say this, the weight of a dime can take away 60% of your muscle use and organ use. The weight of a dime. And the most sensitive part of our body, our nervous system, is encased in the strongest part of our body. And just a little thing that's off, it can affect your organs and your muscles. So since it's here, that's why I've been having pain down my chest, down my arm, affecting because of here. You may be having stomach problems, and sometimes that is linked to your nervous system in your lower back. You know, it's crazy how God created the human body. When he knit you together, man, he really knit you together. I mean, it's pretty crazy how he did this. And so you can see, so that where that nerve is pinched, that's what's causing all the problems. And so here's what's cool. And I'm like 43 degrees, like a banana, an arc. And here's what they say. In architecture, there is nothing stronger than an arc. Do you know that the Hoover Dam, let's put the Hoover Dam up. The Hoover Dam is at a 43-degree arc. And that's not just some random number they chose. They did the math. They calculated the strongest arc is 43 degrees. And that's what God wants your neck to be at. Not just physically, but if he is the brain and we are the body, we have to be at a strong arc, or maybe at the arc. Not just ARC, but ARK, because we're bringing back the ark. We're people of his presence. We have to be at the ark, at an ark for the message for heaven. We want to call your kingdom come, your will be done. But I got to get through your C6, your C7, your low. I are y'all with me? Pretty crazy, huh? So I still have all these symptoms, but here's what they do. We've gone through this video. I've learned this science. I'm like, this is crazy, Lord. You're just dropping knowledge. And he's like, they're like, now let's look at your x-ray. So they pull up my x-ray, and they see that the C5 through the C7 are pinching that nerve. And it needs to be at that 43-degree angle. To be adjusted and aligned is what you need. You need a plan. Your plan is you're going to come in 3 times a week for 8 weeks. You're going to do these exercises. There's one that you sit on a chair and do this. There's another one you do with your neck. And then they put you on the table and they adjust or align your spine. How many of you have ever been aligned? It is awesome and awful all at the same time. It is, you know the benefit of it, but you know what you have to go through to get there. And I love how calm the chiropractors are. You know, it's like, hey, what's happening? Bam, bam, bam. Hey, how's your day going? Wah, wah, wah. Hey, man, glad you're here. Pow. And nobody ever just goes, everybody's like, oh, my gosh. So I have to go in and do those exercises, and you lay on this table, and he just kind of measures your back. And he's like, now breathe in. And you know it's coming. It's like, pow, pow, pow. And he moves up your lower, mid, lower back and breathe in. Pow, pow, pow. Oh, God. You know? Then he moves up to your left shoulder and just snaps it into place. And then moves over to your right shoulder and snaps it into place. And, oh, and they come up to your chin and they're just like, pow, pow. Oh, God. Oh, it feels so good. Then they hit the other side, and then, like, they put you on your side, you put your leg over, and, you know, they're like, huh, huh. I'm like, they're going to break me. Like, you, I hope you went to school for a long time, because I'm like, man, I'm getting free health care for the rest of my life if you take out my spine. They just know what they're doing. And then they're like, yeah, good job, man. I'm like, yeah, good job. Oh, my God. You know? And I think of us. In order to get the church, the body where it needs to be, we need to get an x-ray done. And that's what happened. COVID has uncovered everything. Our insides are exposed. I know that sounds weird, but he is exposing us. But we need that prayer in Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any anxious thoughts or anything offensive in me, lead me in the way everlasting. That is a spiritual x-ray. Psalms 139, 23, 24 is a spiritual x-ray. Then he can show you, this is the plan, and we do it through prayer. I need you to come to me for the next 80 days, or Tuesdays and Thursdays and Wednesdays. We need a plan. For me, it was going in 3 days a week to get, y'all see what I'm saying? And when we get in with him, he's going to be like, hey, Vonda, how are you doing today? Bow, bow, bow. Oh, God. But I need to work on that area of my heart. Hey, Ethan, how are you doing? Yeah, quabam, pops you into place. You're like, yes, that felt so awful, but so good. And he's so loving in the process and so gracious and so inviting. And he's calling us in to search our hearts and say, I can fix this. If the church would step up and pray and get into alignment, then heaven can come down and speak to the body and speak through the body. But there's some vertebrae that are off. You know, one thing that keeps chiropractors in business, and if the musicians would come, one thing that keeps the chiropractor in business is your cell phone. Your cell phone and your computer. When you're consistently... If the arc of your neck is supposed to be naturally like this, and you're consistently looking down, you're putting that pressure and that posture on your neck and the arc and on your spine, and you're the ones keeping chiropractors in business. What does that mean? Are we looking to CNN? Are we looking to Fox? Are we on Facebook too long? Instagram, have you checked your screen time recently? When you see Facebook is like winning the race and the Bible app is back here taking its time? Are you consistently looking down at the earth and what it's saying when we should be looking up to what heaven is saying? Psalms 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Look up, my help comes from the Lord. Church, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. You can look up to him and trust that your foot will not slip, that he who watches over you will not slumber. He didn't change his hours because of COVID. I know Subway did. I know McDonald's did. I know Walmart did, but he's open 24/7. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. But you got to look up. There's a lot of information out there, but heavenly downloads are waiting for you to step into this time of prayer. He's wanting to hear your authentic, available heart. He, not me. Yes. And there's things he's wanting to speak to you, speak over you, speak to his church. So let's just close out in prayer. Search me, God. Know my heart. And if there's an anxious, bitter, angry, lustful, crazy thought, would you lead me in the way everlasting? Your word said that my sheep hear me. They know my voice and they follow me. Speak to me. Your voice is affirming and inviting us. Affirming and inviting us to step up, talk to you, to step up and hear from you. There's so much he wants to tell us. Take an x-ray today, God.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.